Well, since coming back from the feast, it seems that all of our lives have been going smooth, no problems. There's been no trials. There's been just one smooth day after another, and we're all in great spirits and joyful and happy and constantly aware of our attitudes and moods and just outgoing lights like we should be. Well, is it true? I can tell you from my standpoint, for me, myself, and I, this has not been the case. And that's just me. I'm hearing other people's problems and trials as well. And it's interesting to me that this is happening, especially right after the feast. It seems that usually there's a break right after the feast. But it doesn't seem that way right now. And I think it's a sign of the times that we are living in. You know, if you had read this week's editorial, Mr. Messier points this out to an extent, that this is Satan's world. This is not our world. But I wanted to read Revelation chapter 12, and verses 10 to 12 for you, the start of my message. That's Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 10. And it says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.'" You know, it's not easy to read scriptures like this and to assimilate them as Christians. What it's telling us here is that as we draw closer to the end of this age, the rage and the anger of Satan will increase. And it will increase especially against the people of God. That's you and I. And so, you have the title of my sermonette. What do you expect as a Christian? What do we really expect? Do we think that this life is going to become any easier from here on out? And we need to read scriptures and continue to make them our default mode of thinking. We need them to fill us with encouragement and with strength. One of my favorites is Isaiah 41, verse 10, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, if only we could wrap ourselves in these words at all times. They could fill us with the strength they fill us with when we read them. Here's an anonymous quote for you. It says, "Life is full of challenges, but these challenges are only given to you because God knows your faith is strong enough to get you through them." God is going to allow us to be tested. We know this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure or to bear it." You know, it's easy to endure things when they're easy. It's easy to accomplish the day-to-day tasks when we don't have things that are causing us worry or pain. But what do we expect? One more anonymous quote. When you face difficult times, know that challenges are not sent to destroy you. They are sent to promote and increase and strengthen you. In Psalm 139, we find the title of this psalm, God's Perfect Knowledge of Man. And it shows in detail how much God knows about us, what he has planned for us in our days, how he has created us before time even was. In this chapter, David tells God that he counts God's thoughts as precious to him. But it's the end of this chapter that really stands out for me. In verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, David isn't worried about anything other than what God thinks. He wanted God to show him where he was wrong. He wanted and expected to be corrected. He wanted to know with all his heart where he could do better to be in line with God's ways and his thoughts. We also read in Psalm 19 and verse 7, or we'll read to verse 14. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, and then I shall be blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." There's one thing that I can tell you that will be true. It's that we can't expect our lives to become harder and harder. We can expect more challenges and more trials as we continue. But our lives, our focus, and our minds must be stayed in God and in his word. We must find our strength being renewed by God. How else do we expect to make it? We know what's coming. And it's one thing to read about the things that are going to happen. It's another to live through them. If you spend any time reading history about World War I or II, unthinkable things happened at that time to countless people. And yet the Bible tells us that those times and those days are nothing compared with what is going to be coming. It's hard to imagine. So I want to encourage each of us to be doing everything possible to spend the time and the energy in renewing our relationship with God, while also holding the courage and the resolve to ask the hard questions and to dig into those areas in our life that are dark. As David did, asking God to help him to understand him where he was wrong and how he could change. You know, everything depends on our state of mind. When the Israelites were going into the promised land that God said he was going to give them, along with all the previous breathtaking miracles that he had accomplished, the 12 spies who went into the land saw amazing things. They brought back these huge portions of food. Talked about huge grapes. And yet on their return, they just spread bad news. 10 of them. 2 of them were good. They talked about how large the giants were in the land, how the cities were massive and fortified. And they completely left God out of the picture. And so I had to stop and think about my own life and comparing the things that I'm going through with what the Israelites went through. You start to see similarities. How different are we than those ancient Israelites? How often do I do this to God? How often do I worry and complain? Get scared about situations that I find myself in. God promised that land to the Israelites. When God says he is going to do something, it will be done. So why do we allow ourselves to get worked up into this state, having fear, having lack of faith? It's called being human. It's called not being able to see the future. We are all not immune to this. And so in order to grow in the faith of God, we are allowed to go through the tests and the trials that we each are facing. Let's find the courage and the strength. God knows who you are. God knows who I am. Start living that life. Start living with that intention. Cultivate that mindset. The mindset that we face what we face because God wants to see what we will do. Will we fold and whimper? Or we will stand in the face of the storm with God as our shield? Whatever we face, don't you think God cares? If it feels like he doesn't, then maybe he is waiting for us to change our mindset, to change our way of thinking, and to start living with intention. I didn't know how much time I was going to take, but I'm going to take a little bit more time since I got permission. I just wanted to read this little poem. I don't know who wrote it. Another anonymous. But it says this. Though victory is proof of the skill you possess, defeat is a proof of your grit. A weakling can smile in his day of success, but at trouble's first sign, he will quit. So the test of the heart and the test of your pluck isn't skies that are sunny and fair, but how do you stand to the blow that is struck, and how do you battle despair? A fool can seem wise when the pathway is clear, and it's easy to see the way out. But the test of a man's judgment is something to fear, and what does he do when in doubt? And the proof of his faith is the courage he shows when sorrow lies deep in his breast. It's the way that he suffers, the griefs that he knows, that brings out the worst or his best. The test of a man is how much he will bear for the cause which he knows to be right. How long will he stand at the depths of despair, and how much will he suffer and fight? There are many to serve when the victory's near, and few are the hurts to be borne. But it calls for a leader of courage to cheer the men in the battle forlorn. is the way you hold out against the odds that are great that proves what your courage is worth. It's the way that you stand to the bruises of fate that shows up your stature and girth. And victory's nothing but the proof of your skill, veneered with a glory that's thin, unless it is proof of unfaltering will, and unless you have suffered to win.